Vážený pane ministře.
Mr. Secretary, thank you for your words and thank you for coming here and agreeing to a few questions from the plenary. We will ask questions in Czech very briefly. And the first is Tomáš Jirsa, then Jiří Dienstbier, and then Deputy President Jan Horník, and then Renata Chmielová. First, Tomáš Jirsa, the Deputy Chair of the Foreign Affairs, Security and Defense Committee. Mr. Secretary, I do appreciate the fact that I can ask you a question that follows. Do you see any possibility to improve the strategic relations between Russia and the U.S.? Because the very cold relations influence also Central Europe. Thank you very much.
So, I hope so. Just as we do with all nations who have presented challenges, we try to find places where we can work together. I can give you a couple examples with Russia. So we work closely with them. I did when I was in my previous role as CIA director as well. We try to work on counterterrorism alongside them, sharing information to save Russian lives, American lives, lives of people around the world. Just last week, we had a big gathering with Russian arms control experts, doing our best to find the right path forward for the most dangerous weapons in the world, these two major nuclear arsenals. We've had productive conversations with them. We hope that we can find a strategic place there. The world that world has moved to, right? It was just missiles and warheads. Now you have space and cyber and hypersonic material. So the strategic balance needs to be readdressed, and we're hopeful that we can have good conversations with the Russians about it. So we're every place that we can find to move forward with them, we are certainly prepared to do so, but we do so with our eyes wide open. We watch still the things that happen around the world, the things that the Russians are engaged in. We know that even if we're able to get some of those big issues right, we still have to make sure that and at the end of the day, it is freedom-loving nations that will find our value sets most overlapping and able to build our economies effectively most closely together.
Děkujeme. Jiří Dienstbier.
Thank you very much. Jiří Dienstbier, head for the Constitutional Commission and Deputy Chair. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Thank you for this exchange. I would like to ask you for the approach of the U.S. to multilateralism and to international organizations, because in recent years we witnessed the withdrawal of institutions like the Human Rights Council of the UN from the World Health Organization. And so the question is whether it does not weaken the cooperation with democratic countries, and in a way whether it does not open the space to non-democratic countries, and whether it does not weaken the democratic community, including the U.S.
So this is a great question, a very, very important question. It gets back to, I referred to this in my remarks a bit too. So you have these institutions that have charters or stated purposes, and the question President Trump has asked our team always to think about is, are they functional? Are they delivering on their intended purposes? Can we, in our role there, can we have an impact on their effectiveness, the ability to deliver actual outcomes? I'm all for any multilateral institution, so long as it works. And take the UN Human Rights Council, the first one you mentioned. That thing's broken. We tried to reform it, not once, not twice, not three times, but seven times. And it has the most egregious human rights violators in the world sitting in judgment. It's not functional. We're happy to work on human rights with any partners and any friends in any institution where we can deliver good human rights. That institution has no chance of delivering that and improving the lives of real people all around the world. It is nonsense to lend the American name to an institution that has countries like Iran and Venezuela, right, that are connected deeply to it. It's just inappropriate, and it's not effective, and we're not going to spend our time and resources and money supporting those. The World Health Organization, you mentioned secondly. The World Health Organization failed at its most fundamental test of this century, when a virus broke out in Wuhan, China, it allowed politics to trump science. And it participated in a cover-up that has now cost hundreds of thousands of lives and trillions of dollars of economic destruction around the world. Again, we worked with the World Health Organization to reform the very rule set, the international health regulations. We worked to reform the very rule set that they permitted the Chinese Communist Party to violate. You should note, you still don't know precisely where this virus came from. There still are not international inspectors on the ground permitted to go see that laboratory. They let a couple of reporters in the other day. Those reporters talked to two doctors who, not surprisingly, said what? Didn't come from here. It's Chinese propaganda. It is not appropriate to lend American power and might and influence to institutions that are fundamentally not going to perform their mission. Contrast that with institutions that have the capacity to work. We've worked to build out a coalition of 60-plus countries with respect to trying to restore basic rights to the Venezuelan people. We've had a huge group, numbering some 90, including important work done by the Czech Republic to counter terrorism around the world. A coalition of 90-plus nations. We work closely countless multilateral organizations around the world, not to mention all the great work we do inside of NATO with partners here in Europe. No, we're happy to be part of multilateral institutions. We will lend our we'll pay a disproportionate amount if that is what is required. But we just got to know that we're going to actually deliver the things that they promise people that they will deliver. And when we can't fix it, when we feel like we've exhausted ourselves trying to make that institution function, then we're going to go spend our time and our treasure. We would urge every nation in its own sovereign capacity to make the same decision. You should only be part of those things that work. Multilateral institutions for the sake of multilateralism aren't worth a darn.
Děkujeme. Další na našem...
Next on our list is Jan Horník, deputy Vice President of the Senate of the Parliament of the Czech Republic and member of the OSCE Parliamentary Assembly. Senator, Mr. Secretary, very good afternoon to you. Recently, you have mentioned that the TikTok platform is a risk to protection of personal data of the American citizens. What do you think about the fact that the data center of this platform for European users should be located in Europe? And the rumors say it should be Ireland. And do you think that EU should actually take the same course of action as the US in order to protect the personal data of Europeans, the young Europeans in particular, because they tend to use TikTok? Thank you.
So the first time, you'll appreciate, the first time we talked about TikTok, mothers all across America thanked us for their children having spent so much time on TikTok. If I could raise up from TikTok for a moment, for us, this is a national security issue. This is about data sets, and we know Europe cares about private information. This is about data sets that were clearly available to the Chinese Communist Party's national security apparatus. Enormous data sets. That's just not something that the United States is prepared to permit. I won't begin today to tell Europe where they should put their data centers or how they should think about it. I'll leave that to you all as decision makers. But I can say this. Without focusing on any one particular platform or company, the capacity for this information to be shared amongst Westerners with rule of law and we understand where data goes is a completely different analysis than the data sets that are being transferred to an authoritarian regime like China. And the ends to which that information will be put under rule-abiding, freedom-loving nations are vastly different than the ends to which that information will be put by someone like General Secretary Xi and the Chinese Communist Party. That's what's fundamentally different here. We can all adopt data-sharing arrangements. We can trust that we will abide by them, and when we don't, there'll be a format, a forum to resolve those conflicts and differences. That is radically different than what's taking place here. So when President Trump made his announcement about not only TikTok but about WeChat, and if you read it, it's broader even still than that, is that we're going to make sure that American data not end up in the hands of an adversary like the Chinese Communist Party, for whom we have seen data uses in Western China that rival the greatest human violations in the history of mankind. And we're simply not going to permit that to happen within the best of our ability, and we're going to get there just as quickly as we can.
Well, ladies first, as the going says, but this time it will be the other way around. The lady will conclude the question round or time. Senator Renata Chmelová happens to be the mayor of Prague 10. She is a member of the Foreign Affairs and Defense Committee, and she's also the chairperson of the Subcommittee for Housing. Senator, the floor is yours. Thank you very much. Very good afternoon to you, Mr. Secretary. If you take a look in front of you, that's where you find me. The ideas of our President Václav Havel were actually interweaving your contribution. But still, I would like to ask you to elaborate a little bit more on your personal opinion on Václav Havel's legacy and what, in your opinion, is to be topical from his work and his words. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I love that question. So I actually went back as I was flying here and reread the remarks he made to Congress, oh goodness, 30 years ago, three decades ago. What I found so inspiring was how universal they were. Right, your chapter 77, the Chinese chapter 8, right? These are things that are deeply connected. This month I introduced a report by a commission on unalienable rights in the United States, which took a deep look at American human rights policy and how we should think about it, and how we should formulate it, and went back to our founding, right, our Declaration of Independence, written by some fellows who came over from Europe, right, with a deep connectivity. And when you stare at those, you stare at our Declaration and what Václav Havel said, this stirring in the heart, this central idea that people will always demand that they are able to live out their consciences, whether that's their religious freedom or their desire about how to learn and where to work and how to take care of their own family. And these core things about liberty and freedom, we have a shared view of those in the Czech Republic and the United States. It's the reason all of the policy things that we talk about, we debate hotly, regulatory issues and all, at their very foundation are the ideas that Havel had, which are, if we go back to these most fundamental truths that we know about human dignity and the way that we should all treat each other every day, they're at the core of who we are in the United States, they're at the core of who you are in the Czech Republic, and if we never lose sight of those and we build our ideas and then our actions around them, We'll get the economic prosperity that we want, but we will, of equal importance, we will live in nations that we can be proud of, and we'll live in a place that we can turn over to our kids and to our grandkids with every expectation that they will carry on this tradition of freedom. I think Václav Havel knew that. I know that each of you know that, and I'm counting on all of us together on both sides of the Atlantic working to deliver this for the next generation.
Pane ministře, děkujeme za vaše slova a protože...
Thank you for your words, but because our time is almost up, I wanted to ask the president of the Senate to take the floor for our final remark. Mr. Secretary, I would, on behalf of all of us, thank you for your visit and thank you for your words. Thank you for the manifestations of support and friendship. And in Czechia, good friends are ready to provide to each other the keys of their homes. So please accept from me the key of the Czech Senate, the key of our home. And I wish you all the best in the United States.